What's up, New Numa fam? The time has finally come for me to step up my game on YouTube. So in January 2023, I will begin focusing most of my attention on building not one, but two YouTube channels. One will focus on just audio and the other on live videos. So do me a favor, take out your phone, go to your YouTube app, and subscribe to both channels now. Look for New Numa Godcast Live as well as New Numa Godcast Audio and subscribe right now because later is too late. Thanks, fam. Peace.
Hey, this is Bill Vanderbush, and I want to encourage you to check out my friend Norman Brown and his podcast called New Numa, and you can go to newnuma.com to find it. It's P-N-E-U-M-A.com. Norman talks about everything from identity to grace to diversity to unity to reconciliation. And his desire really is the same as what's on my heart, and that is to bring people together, to be the kingdom of God, to express the love and grace of Jesus here on the earth. I highly encourage you to check out Norman Brown and the New Numa podcast.
Today's podcast starts a series that was recorded on the Clubhouse platform in a room belonging to the club called the High Culture Podcast. I was invited to speak as part of a panel discussion along with two others who were invited by Terrence Frederick to speak to this issue. So although it is not my platform, the subject is still very relevant to my podcast mission and is relevant to the United States, especially in light of the increased attacks against those of the Jewish belief system most recently. This is a very important topic for us in the church as it relates to our unity. So please listen to the whole series to have your eyes hopefully open. Peace.
Legions of angels to come on his behalf. The same Christ who looked Pilate in the face and told him, "The only authority that you have is the authority that my father gave you." What? Oppressed? No. He laid his life down. He gave up the ghost. That's why I don't understand how it's like we got one foot in the world. If y'all forgive my passion, I'm not coming after y'all. It's just I don't know. I don't know what to call it. We got one foot in the world, and I get it. We're not in this world. We're of this world. I get it. But do you not know your authority in Christ? Do you not know that the Bible says in Proverbs 18:21 that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it that shall eat the fruit thereof? That you can come in the presence of someone who is racist and nasty and can't stand you because of the color of your skin, and you can walk away from that situation praying for that individual, speaking whatever blessing, casting out that demon or principality of hatred, and that person loving you? Like, do we not think that? I mean, I'm amazed at how in one aspect we're beat down, trodden and abused and broken and shucking and jiving, and the next minute we hallelujah, thank you Jesus. I mean, which one is it going to be? I mean, pick a side. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't be one. You can't be one or the other. You can't be both. You're either victorious or you're not. That's what I'm saying. Now, am I saying that racism doesn't exist? Am I saying that there's not a system? But guess what? You don't have to participate in the system. Glory to God. You don't have to participate in the system as a kingdom citizen. You have authority over the system. And I'll just yield with that.
Hey, Johnny, I want to say this, man. Like, I definitely understand what you're trying to say. But what I will also add to that is this, that even though Jesus was walking with authority, there were certain things that he was still subject to. Like he said, render unto Caesar what Caesar's, render unto God what God's. So in that system of, you know, taxation and whatnot, he was obligated to do those things because that is the law within that region or whatever. And so that is a type of, you know, and here's the other thing. He was under the Roman rulership, which means that whatever they were saying and whatever they were allowing, That's what he was under that. Now, did Jesus have situations where he specifically went at the Romans? I don't recall anything where he specifically went at the Romans, but when he was in that situation where he was being presented with, you know, a man saying, I have, you know, the power to kill you or whatever. And, you know, this is what I'm looking at. The Jews want you, and I'm trying to figure out what to do with you or whatever. In that situation, when Jesus made a statement about, you know, how he could call down legions of angels, yes, he could have called down legions of angels in that situation. The point wasn't about a moment of where Jesus could have responded a certain way. We can have moments where we respond a certain way and we are able to deal with a certain situation that we're faced with. But that doesn't negate the fact that within the human system, that there are authorities, there are powers, there are rulers, there are laws, there are various things that we have to adhere to and that we are also subject to. Now, does that mean that we don't have victory or authority or whatever within that system? No, it doesn't mean that. But what it means is that there are times where, like Jesus did, for the purpose of his purpose, he did not do certain things because he knew that those things would make his, they would thwart his purpose, or they would like interfere with the reason why he came to the earth. So even though he could have exercised certain things, he could have exercised his power in certain areas, he did not. He submitted underneath whatever was there in the system. And that did not mean he didn't have power or whatever, but at the same time, it meant that he understood, okay, this is where I need to use this and this is where I don't. And when we find Jesus using his authority was mainly used to address demons that were causing people to be sick, lame, you know, dead people, whatever kind of situation where he was making people whole and whatnot. And then, you know, obviously we see where he made the mention of the fact that he was brought here to make the blind see, to heal the sick, to preach, you know, liberty to the captives, and, you know, also bring, the gospel to the poor and those kinds of things. He did those things regardless of the system. And so in that sense, his purpose was not stopped. It was not, put to the side. It was not paused or whatever. He moved forward to do what he needed to do while he was alive on earth. But at the same time, there was an oppressive system that existed, and that was the Romans were in place. And those Romans were able to do certain things if they wanted to that would have affected the Jews, and they did affect the Jews. So the thing is not about whether it's this or that. When we look at this situation, it's the fact that it's both and. Both existed. The power is there, the victory is there, but there's also the oppression that's there. Now, in a situation where...
I'm sorry to interject. Norman, I'm sorry. Can you define for me oppression, like real quick? What's your definition of oppression? Let's start there.
Okay, so before I
before you define it, hold on, Norman. I just want to say something real quick. Someone invited Lenora up to the stage, so I just want to say welcome. We're gonna let Norman and Johnny have this exchange. I wanted to say something about the whole, because I still want to get back to this thing that you just threw out there that I don't want to go too far. So I want to address that once you get done. Once y'all get done, and then we'll let Lenora say her words. So write down what you have to say, or if you can remember it, that's cool. Go ahead, Norman.
So as far as my definition of oppression, I would say it is a system that is in place that prevents people from rising up above a certain level. So what I would say is that obviously when we look at, like, for specifically in America, there is an oppressive system that exists in America, but there are people within that system who have risen up above what the oppression might have been trying to put on them. But that doesn't negate the fact that there are laws in place that even today, that if they were to invoke these laws, that those things would cause us as African Americans or whatnot to be under a certain type of system immediately, because they are still laws that are written in books that have not been removed from those books that could be invoked. And all I'm saying is that if let's just say, for instance, there were many Christians who were around in the days of slavery, and therefore they were a part of that whole system that was going on. So why would you think that those people in that system were under the slavery that was going on? Because there are certain things in the natural that were in place that prevented certain things from happening, no matter what the situation was for them spiritually. And that's just, you know, that's just the way of it is. I mean, you look at China right now, there's a bunch of Chinese believers, but they don't come out and do certain things in public because they are under an oppressive communist system. Does that mean that they don't have certain things going on underground that show power and authority and whatnot? No, it doesn't stop those certain things. But at the same time, with a system in place and without certain things happening, you can't, you know, for instance, if I pray and I keep praying for things to change or whatever, and things are not changing, is it because I don't have power or authority? No, it's because God has to move pieces around to make things happen. And those pieces are dealing with humans who have a will, they have power, they have authority, they have their own desires. And therefore, God has to work within that system, which is also being affected by demonic people who are being affected by demons that are trying to stop God's, you know, things from happening in those systems. So these kind of things that are in place don't negate the power of God. God still has power to do things, but God also knows there's a certain way that he has to do it within the system, where people who have been given dominion over the earth are able to make certain things happen. And that's what I was trying to say.
Okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to hold off on what I want to say, because I want to make sure Lenora has an opportunity to say what she was thinking before she forgets. Welcome. Blessings. What's going on?
Yeah, great conversation, guys. I was just listening, and I was just going to add that I think I agree with, like, what Norman was saying. There's definitely a spiritual side to it, and then there's, like, the, you know, the physical side to it of, like, what's going on in this world, like, racism between different cultures. But I do agree with, I don't know who spoke earlier, but someone, I don't know, maybe it was Norman or someone else that said that we do have that authority. And I think this generation is, like, forgetting, because they've gotten so far away from God, they're forgetting their identity in Christ, they're forgetting their authority in Christ. And so it's just like this woe is me kind of mindset. And on one hand, it is, yes, there is, like, racism, but people forget, like, it's spiritual. So yes, God is rooting for you if you're following him and you're doing his will, and, you know, you've sanctified, justified. It's not easy. Every day we have to struggle and, like, do what God tells us to do and follow him. It gets easier as you follow him. But at the same time, there's still a devil who's still trying to come at your neck. And from what I've seen, just from observing here in Canada, it's like the devil's trying to attack men a lot. And he's trying to attack specifically Black men and men in general. So it's not just the Black men, but it's specifically, I see, against Black men. So, and then because they're committing sins, it's like the devil has a foothold and he's able to do whatever he wants. And then the community is, like, a mess. So, like, yeah, there's that aspect. But I think it's, like, when you get back to the family, like, racism, it does affect you, right? Like, being terrorized when you go to certain parts of Canada, like, the racism is a lot higher than, like, the more diverse areas like Toronto. But what I've seen is like for young people is like when they have to, or older people, when you have to deal with racism, like if you have a family that's a structure and you know your identity in Christ, it's still going to be painful when people are saying nasty things towards you, or if they beat you up, or, you know, terrorizing you. But at least there's laws put in place here to help. But you can't change people's hearts. If they want to be racist and nasty towards you, they're going to do it regardless. Only thing you can do is really pray for them to change, and for God to like take the scales from their eyes and to show them, like deliver them from that spirit. Because I believe racism is like a demonic spirit. So yeah, there's that aspect to it. But when you have your family, your community around you, and everything is like in order, it still is painful, but you still have that buffer. That, okay, I can still go back to my parents. I can still go to back to my brothers, my sisters, my community. And it's not so painful because they care about me. They love me. Even if other people hate me, even if your family hates you, God loves you, right? Because it's harder when you don't have that around you. If you don't even have parents or siblings or anything to support you, then you just feel lost. And that's what's happening with the younger generation. They can't connect. And then the family structure is broken down. And then society is just debased, so they're debased, and everyone's mind needs to be renewed. So like there's that aspect to it too, but I definitely think it's a spiritual thing. Like maybe people need to get together and like pray around your area, because there was this testimony I watched by John Ramirez. He's like this Puerto Rican guy who used to be a Satanist, and he said that the Satanists, they definitely send like racist spirits to certain areas, and they, and the spirit of murder and all this stuff like that, to kill people and to cause people to hate each other and fight and all this stuff. So I definitely think there's like a demonic element to it. And sometimes it's not demonic, sometimes it's just ignorance. People, they don't know, like if you move to certain towns here in Canada, they've never seen a black person before. So when you're the first person going there, it's very hostile, and they're ready to like call you the N-word, everything, be mean to you, everything. So it's it takes time for them to get used to it. And then as more people move to that area that are black, Asian, etc., then they're more used to seeing different cultures. And especially the young people, they're used to growing up around different cultures, and slowly they learn to respect and see, okay, this person is just a regular person like me, like we're all kids. But that takes time, that takes some generations, or not generations, but it takes several years for that to like change, and more people to go to that area. But people should just respect each other regardless. When they know Jesus, you know that like this is my brother and sister, even if they come from a different culture from me, like I'm not gonna hate them just because they don't look like me and talk like me, or they speak another language. I just may have my ignorance, they may have their ignorance towards me and like look down on my culture, I might look down on their culture. We need to both like meet each other halfway and start to learn about each other. So there's that element to it. Yeah, I think it's a spiritual thing. But yeah, sorry, that was all over the place. But go ahead, guys. Sorry.
No, that was good. That was good. I want to go back, because you said a lot of great things. Go back to what I said earlier to connect that there is that spiritual element, but you have two aspects of the spiritual. You have the ground level spiritual warfare that's dealing with the demons in individuals. And I think Brother Johnny is talking about a lot of times individual, like you were talking about Christ's individual authority and power, or our individual ability because of our faith in the Lord, and you know what we can stand in and adopt as our mentality. That's individual. So that's you can deal with things on a ground level, individual. But then there are principalic spirits, there are principalities that govern large areas and territories. And like Sister Lenora was saying, you know, some of these things, you know, you have to pioneer and you have to do groundwork and you have to address a whole lot of things before you can dislodge a principality over a region. It's not just what you're doing individually, but it's also, you know, you're working with laws, you're working with government, you're working with education, you're working with meeting the needs of the communities. It's so many different things, and over time, so we're addressing different things. I just wanted to highlight that is addressing different things when we're talking about racism. Going back over what I said earlier, we're dealing with the spiritual aspect, but then there are governmental laws and policies that impact people in a certain way, where some people end up becoming the haves and some are the have-nots. And some of that is addressed in people who could would go going into the realm of government and lawmaking and, you know, that legislation, that kind of thing. Some certain laws have to be addressed. You can't just handle that in the spirit realm, because people's hearts need to change. But then also people, God gave man dominion. I think that's what Norm was bringing out. God gave man dominion. And there are certain things that won't change until men change and they change their laws or their policies and things, because he gave that to us for us to be the stewards. But then you have the doctrines, and Sister Lenora was talking about the ignorance or the teaching or what your family members taught you, whatever. All that's a part. And that goes along with the traditions and cultural norms. So just wanted to highlight that when we're talking about racism, we probably have to specify which aspect of it we're addressing, because depending on what we're addressing, we would attack it in different ways. The enemy is slick. He's very methodical. You know, he got whatever knowledge he has. He got that from the Most High. He's just abusing his authority. But then people have more authority in the earth than the enemy. But if they are wicked and evil, then they will perpetuate his doctrines. But this is the part I wanted to get to. I wanted to talk and I'm addressing this to you, Johnny, but I'm really addressing everybody too. Just think about a person who is going into a church, and there's someone who represents African American community, which is, I just say black folk, just make it plain. And they are listening to the pastor or the leader, and they can hear insensitivity to the collective trauma that a group of people have experienced over time, and how that historical trauma still reverberates in generations later. Now, once again, I'm not talking about an individual's decision to rise above the trauma, but I'm talking about a person who's sitting under a leader, and that leader is speaking from their political bias. They're speaking from their own personal experience and lack of diversity in their own life. But then they're dealing with a leader who's actually merging that with the will of God, and how uncomfortable it could be when you're sitting under a leader who's insensitive to the struggles and trials of that particular demographic, and even the dismissiveness, the lack of acknowledgement of the said ethnic group's specific needs as a community. There are certain needs. We even see the scripture in the Bible where certain widows were taken care of, other widows were not. It was an ethnic distinction, but they had to address the issue. They couldn't deny that the issue exists. They had to formulate a strategy to address the issue so that the issue could be resolved. So I don't think all of it is handled in prayer and supplication and fasting and just believing that I am above, but there has to be strategy in place to demolish the stronghold, because that's the thing we didn't talk about. You're not just dealing with spirits, but you're dealing with strongholds, and strongholds operate in mentality, in group thought, collective consciousnesses, collective ways that people handle things and norms that people practice. So that has to be dealt with. So what I'm saying is that there's an issue a lot of times with leadership. A lot of times you'll see that, whether you call them Caucasians, of European descent or whatever, they won't sit under a black pastor unless he's a mega church leader. They'll find a white pastor. And there's an expectation that when the black people go into the church with a white led pastor, if he's not intentional about being multi-ethnic, then a lot of times they have to conform to that European mindset and that cultural distinction. So in other words, it's kind of like what they used to call back in the day, Oreo, you got to be an Oreo to survive here, because they won't include their cultural expression in their worship experience. You have to conform to what's already there. And then two other things I want to address, and I said this earlier, that you have to deal with the ministry of helps and distribution. So how is this church or ministry that's headed by this particular person addressing individual needs and collective needs of certain demographic groups? If you're dismissive or insensitive, or if you feel like those things don't exist, that's going to make that person who may be highly connected to their culture or ethnicity feel like they're being ignored. And that's something that has to be addressed. And it should also be an integrated expression. We talk about multi-ethnic churches. Those churches work when there's an integration of expression, meaning that we're going to allow you to keep your cultural distinction, and we're going to include it in our worship experience. But we don't want it whitewashed where it's all just one thing. And then the other thing is they need to have right judgment, those leaders, whenever they're addressing political justice issues. If you're biased and you're always leaning towards a certain political thing that favors one group of people over others, and that could go both ways, either way. But I feel like all of that speaks to the problems with racism and the feelings that people have joining ministries and having and subjugating themselves, because maybe that person is an awesome teacher of the word. They expound on the word beautifully, or certain great qualities that they have. But when it comes down to addressing ethnic issues, they either ignore them or they're kind of like, hey, it's our way or the highway. And I think that's a legitimate problem that we have to address if we're going to talk about really coming together as one. And I yield on that. Anybody can respond.
I'd like to say this. I would agree that there are some situations where trauma, that there is trauma, but God gives us a choice. And when we look at this word trauma, I looked it up as you were saying it. It's defined as a deeply distressing or disturbing experience. For me, it was watching Roots. That's what my experience was, which planted a seed which caused anger, which produced hate. So now I'm hating another person who had absolutely nothing to do with an event, a reenactment of an event. And now I had to choose at some point to be delivered from that hatred. That's what I had to do. That was my experience. But when I look at my life, have there been situations that I could say that were distressing, that were disturbing? Absolutely. And it wasn't just all about the color of my skin. It's a multiplicity of things. But I think that's where the power of God comes in. That's where deliverance comes in. That's, you know, so it's more than just authority, but it's in the things that have been given to us in Christ. So I don't know, everybody's experience of distress or being disturbed is different. But I think that when we allow God to minister to us and we really look at the heart of a matter, I think that that's what will help us get through, have the victory, and then get to a place where we can provide solutions. Because all I keep hearing about is the quote unquote problem, which I have I was just talking to somebody, and I'm not trying to derail this to another, but I was just talking to somebody about the situation. They got the situation now where they're trying to defame the name of Donald Trump and saying all that he did to provoke this so-called insurrection. It's amazing how they use the word insurrection. But I said, you know what? I'm going to educate myself and I'm going to watch the entire video. I watched the 70-minute speech and I was amazed at how people remixed it and flipped it to make it sound like he said something that he didn't say on three different accounts. The situation that happened in Charlottesville. So it just amazes me. We can call something one thing when it really is another, based on whatever might be the deep-seated trauma or distress or whatever disturbed us about a situation, whether we saw someone get killed by a police officer or whatever the past had. But I mean, when we really look at our lives, what did you really go through? How has your life really been impacted? I mean, I hear folks holler about the police all the time, and they have not even been pulled over by a police officer, never had an incident. And it's like, okay, let's really get to the heart of the matter. Is the heart of the matter that you just mad? You just upset because somebody else is upset? Do you really have all the facts? Or are you regurgitating something that's been implanted into you? And I'll deal with that.
So I wanted to say, Johnny, did you get a chance to read the questions that I put in the chat?
Let's see here. It says, you said, please address this verbally, Johnny. Why did the disciples hide when Jesus rose from the dead and went to heaven during time when Paul persecuted the church if the authority was there? Oh, this is a great one. Well, the first one, why did the disciples hide when Jesus rose from the dead and went to heaven? I mean, it was clear. I mean, the disciples were clearly not in the will of God at that point. They were afraid. They were fearful. I mean, look what Peter did. I mean, Jesus prophesied what Peter would do. He said, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. So this is not an example of someone who is, I would say, for lack of a better term, walking according in the fullness of the authority and the power of God. And then you said, during the time when Paul persecuted the church, if the authority was there. But ew, that's a good one. But look at the power of God. How Saul, surnamed Paul, you know what I'm trying to say, got knocked off his high horse on the road to Damascus. Saying, Lord, Lord, you know, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So again, someone who was persecuting the church and now is the majority writer of our new covenant.
So let me ask you something then, because you bring it up, the fact that he got knocked off his horse, but yet there's thousands, we could say millions, and now on the earth, billions of people who have not had experience like that. They don't know Christ. They have not been knocked off a high horse or whatever. Does that mean that God doesn't have authority still just because those people didn't change?
I think that what that means is that we have some work to do. I think that what that means is we have a church. And it really, these questions are awesome because it brings it back to the title of this room. We're too busy fighting in the church rather than being united and being a collective unit and dealing with the forces of darkness, and the enemy knows this. The Bible says a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. What am I doing walking in the church worrying about the color of somebody's skin when I should be concerned about, do they love the Lord? Are they saved? Are they set free? Are they healed? Are they delivered? I'm feeling this in my spirit right now. We concerned about the wrong thing. We concerned about the wrong stuff.
This is the reason why I'm asking you this question, Johnny, because the point I'm trying to make is, first of all, everybody is not going to be saved. It doesn't matter how much we pray. It doesn't matter if we were never fighting or whatever. The point is that some people will reject Christ. Most people will reject Christ. He said it himself, because the road to destruction is wide and many are going that route. So the bottom line is that what I'm saying is, none of this denotes whether God is powerful, whether he has authority, whether we have authority, whether we're walking in our authority on the earth. What it denotes is that people have a choice they have to make for themselves. And everybody's choice is not going to be the right choice. So the thing is that when we realize that people are they are a being that has the ability to make bad or good decisions within a system that is on the earth, then that means that those things will affect how their outcome will be. And there were some questions I asked you before that I'll say verbally. You know, when you talk about walking in this authority and you say you're not under the oppression or whatever, to me, and maybe you don't see it this way, what I'm about to say, but to me, that would sound like that whatever I want to have, then that means I should have it now. And if I don't have it, that means I don't know my authority or whatever. But at the same time, that would mean to me that there is a level of resistance and or oppression and or circumstances that are involved or whatever. What I'm basically saying is that our lack of having something in place or not does not predicate whether we have authority or not. What it shows is that just like with Jesus, Jesus wasn't riding around and, you know, on the Rolls Royce of his day. He didn't have a big mansion for everybody to come to and have, you know, whatever kind of gatherings or whatnot. He wasn't just, in places of power and authority among the governmental officials and whatnot. What we see is that Jesus came and, yeah, he was upsetting some things specifically with the religious system that existed. But you barely see Jesus interacting with the Romans that were oppressing his people. You see him mainly addressing the spiritual leaders of the Jews and having interactions with them. And then at the end of his life, that's when you see that he has an interaction with Romans in the form of dealing with an authority figure who was telling Jesus what he could and could not do and whatnot. And in that moment, there was a certain type of exchange. But all in all, what I'm trying to point out is that we don't have, like, there's this mindset around certain people where they think whatever they want, they just going to manifest it. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. If Jesus, you know, being that he's our ultimate example, then why didn't he so-called manifest all these things that he needed or wanted or whatever could have had to make things easier for himself or whatever in the situation? And the point I'm making is that we don't have, just because we have authority and we have power through Jesus, that doesn't mean we can do and have whatever we want. That doesn't mean we can go and cause whatever to happen that we desire to happen. When we look at the fact that someone like a Martin Luther King came into the situation where he actually was, in a situation where he wanted to lead a movement to bring freedom to groups of people that were oppressed, he still had to operate within the system of the laws and whatever else that existed in order to bring forth the change. It wasn't something where he could just say, I'm going to snap my fingers, I'm going to tell you my dream, and it's just going to happen. That's not how it works. And even now, we're seeing decades later where we're still not seeing the fullness of the dream that he said that he had of what would happen among people that are different ethnicities and so forth and so on. So I just want to know, like, do you feel like, in your estimation of walking in authority versus being in an oppressive system that exists, do you feel like everything that is going on in your life is because you haven't exercised your authority enough, or is because you just haven't tapped into a key principle that you need to tap into for you to be able to overcome the oppression that exists? Or, I mean, what is it that you're thinking? Like, this is some magical thing, so to speak, where you just, you know, you say manifest or I command this to happen or whatever, and it just pops up. I'm just trying to understand, like, how you're thinking when you're saying you can't be oppressed and in victory at the same time.
Thank you, and I'll make it short. I think you expressed what I think very well. You cannot be victorious and be defeated at the same time. It's impossible. The Bible says, "Shout unto God with a voice of triumph." When you're triumphant, being triumphant, it's something that is post victory. You don't celebrate a victory if you've lost the game. You might, "Oh, guys, that was a good job. Way to go, guys. Way to go. All right. Good effort. Hey, you guys are winners on the inside." No, you either win the game or you lose the game. You either have the victory or you don't. We either have the keys to death, hell, and the grave, or we don't. He that descended is the same. He that descended is the same that is ascended and led captivity captive, gave gifts to many. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. Too, we all come to that unity of faith. There it is. And this is the problem, because I get it. There are billions or millions of people all over the world that may not be saved, but we're talking about the church. This, it brings it back to the title of this room, the ethnic beefs in the church. And so when I think about the church, which is not kingdom, that's a whole nother discussion for another time. But we, what did Jesus say? He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are the ecclesia. We are to be trained up to go out and to be an invasion force out there. But if there's division in the camp, if there's folks still trying to figure out if they saved or not saved in the house, we got a problem. How is it you got an M16, which is a rifle, and you don't know how to shoot it? You don't know how to load it. You don't know how to use the authority, the bullets that you have, which is the word of God, against the wiles of the enemy. How is that? How is it that we're a fighting force and, you go over here. How are we not unified in our effort to fight the enemy? That is what I'm saying. So, yeah, so manifest, absolutely. Let's manifest some victories with the authority that we have. What authority do we have? We have the Spirit of God. We have the Word of God. We have the fruit of the Spirit. By the way, it's as the Spirit wills, right? It's as the Spirit wills. Well, the Bible tells me to desire spiritual gifts, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, praying in the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's so much. I don't want to get off, but I want
to. Let me just say this. I'm going to address that in a minute. I do want to respond to that. But Jonathan, what you got, man? I know you've been on mute for a minute.
Oh, no, it's all good. Just loving listening to y'all, brothers. But I will say, I think, you know, that, and not to talk, but that type of mentality is a struggle for a lot of believers. You know, people preach them up as if you can just manifest that thing. And when those things don't happen, they want to blame their faith for those things not happening. Just to kind of side off of it, I mean, even my experience in the church, like, I had to go through a transformation once I understood about how the Bible was used toward people who look like me. And I had to go through a transformation when I understood not only was the church as we know it here, as what we are talking about right now was built, it was not only complacent with slavery, it was acceptant of it. Not only was the church, as we talk about it here, and those people we need to integrate and we should be, but those people also were complacent and accepting in the fact that they didn't want people who look like me around. And that's not some type of fairy tale. That's not something I made up in my head. That's actual factual information. And I think a lot of times we want to act like those type of situations was a million years ago, and it wasn't. That information is fresh. That information is still on my mind. And to understand that the word that I believed in was used to enslave and keep a people who look like me enslaved, that made me have to go through something with that word. And that had nothing to do with, you know, me not tapping into something. That's knowledge that I didn't have based on the way that it was taught. The foundation of it. I had to find a new foundation because of the information that I was given. And I think to dismiss that experience and that understanding, especially when it comes to the faith and that understanding of what transpired here, does a disservice to a lot of believers who look like us.
I want to say that, Johnny, I still don't feel like you have addressed the question that I'm asking you. You have not said, what does it look like to so-called be victorious instead of being oppressed? I want to know what you are defining as, you know, you talking about, you know, we can't have certain things because we're fighting among each other. But what I want to know is, are you trying to say that, for instance, the reason why you don't have financial security for the rest of your life and for eight generations following you is because you just haven't manifested the authority yet? You don't have the authority yet? Or are you saying it because that's not what you're supposed to have in your life? Or is that because you just haven't gotten there yet because it's coming in stages? I'm just trying to understand what your thinking is about what is the measure of whether you have authority that you're walking in or not, because you keep talking about the authority and what that means and whatnot. But I'm trying to also, I'm saying that, yes, we have authority, but that doesn't negate the things that we're up against. And that doesn't negate the fact that we are still fighting. The Bible tells us that we're fighting. So if the Bible tells us we're fighting, then to me, that's a clear indication that whatever it is that we are faced with is not based on whether we have authority, whether we walk in victory or not. It's about the fact that there are things that we are in a battle against. And even Jesus said that he would sit on the right hand of the Father until his enemies be made his footstool. So that meant that Jesus, even though he did certain things while he was here on earth, and he has spoken certain things about us, saying that, you know, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. First of all, the spiritual blessings are separate from the manifestation of natural things. Just because someone is blessed spiritually, if they're in a country where, you know, you don't have the resources that we have in America, then their type of victory and the experience that they have is going to be different in the way it's reflected in their daily walk versus us in a place where we have access to a lot of things, such as, let's say, the internet. If somebody in another country doesn't have the internet, then are they going to be able to do cryptocurrency, for instance? No, they don't have the ability because they don't have the access. They don't have the technology or whatever. Does that mean they're less victorious? No, not necessarily. But in that region, they just don't have the access to the things that we have access to. So again, the question that I have for you is, what is it that you are looking at to say whether a person is victorious, whether they are walking in their authority or whatever? And I'm not talking about the spiritual side. Let's forget about the spiritual side right now, because right now we're talking about natural things that are indicators that we have overcome, pushed through, broken through certain barriers to get to a certain place. So that's what I would like for you to address.
All right, I'll be short because I know Lenora wants to get in here and speak. So it's difficult for me to just give you a natural response because that's not how I'm wired. I believe that everything has a spiritual connotation to it. And to negate the spiritual side leaves us defenseless and powerless. Because if you try to deal with, as the Bible says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through the pulling down of strongholds, right? We fight not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. So to try to separate the spiritual side from the natural, we're already defeated right there. And I could understand why we would talk like this, oppression and depression and being victorious over here and then losing over here. We're going to lose. Absolutely. But to answer your question, because I can only answer it spiritually because that's just how I'm wired, right? I would answer it with this question. And the question is, what things are you speaking to and seeing those things come to fruition? And when I'm talking about spheres and atmospheres, what situations are you praying about? And you're literally seeing the manifestation of God doing a work in that thing. And everybody in this room has that ability to do that in some way, shape, or form. What has the Spirit of the Lord said to you concerning what you're dealing with, maybe just in your local situation? What strategy has he given you and have you implemented that? Case in point, and I'll yield with this. I was doing something I had no business doing. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I was. Okay. I'm on my way home from that thing, and I just happened to tune into Clubhouse. Let me show you how wonderful and how loving and how merciful God is. And I tune into this room, and it says, I have a word for you. Come into this room, or something to that effect. I go in the room, and there's people from all around the world, different parts of the world, Africa, England, whatever the case may be. And the individual says, there's somebody on this line right now that's driving. And whoever it is, now I have not unmuted my mic yet. I'm the only one in the room driving. And there were a multiplicity of people in this room. I unmute my mic. The individual says, we need to pray for you right now because the enemy is trying to cause you to get into a traffic accident right now and wants to take your life. So everybody in the room begins to pray for me. And we pray. And not maybe 15, 20 minutes after that, I try to go into my right lane and a big old truck try to run me off the road. Now, you think that was a coincidence? No. That was the power of God. That was the authority of God from somebody thousands of miles away to be able to hear from God, to be able to speak that into my spirit at that particular time that I would be able to be here today. We have that authority over racism, over divisions in the church, or whatever it is. And that's what I'm saying. The words of your mouth, and not just your words, but the words of your mouth according to the will of God in his word. I hope I made that clear, and I'm going to yield with that. Thank you.
Okay, I know there's probably some follow-up questions. I'm going to exercise self-control. I want to say stuff, but I want to make sure that people who have something to say can say it. So I don't know, Lenora, did you have something to, in response to what we've been talking about? I'll hold mine.
Yeah, it's kind of a difficult, not difficult question. It's a big question. Actually, it's really good. It's making me think, but I guess, like, I'm agreeing with what he just said. Like, if you can, I guess you know you're walking in the authority if, like, your life is not going as it should be, but, like, you see fruit of it in your life. So your finances, your health, when you pray for people or pray towards certain situations, you're actually seeing, maybe not right away, but eventually you do see some kind of impact. And let's say you, for example, you're praying for a friend, or it could be a stranger, and then they come back to you months later and like that seed has been planted and you see some actual change in that person, or you see change in yourself, like whatever you're praying to God about to change within yourself, you actually see that change happening. With the racism thing, back to the room topic, I'd say when you reach the point that it doesn't affect you the same way. So you know, when you hear racist things and you're just like, okay, you know what? Like, what that person said is pretty terrible, but I know my identity in Christ. Like, it's not hitting me the same way. Or when people will make comments like, oh, how can you worship Jesus? That's white Jesus. And he, you know, thanks to the Christians, there was slavery. I'm like, yeah, there's evil people in every religion around the world. Just because the gospel itself, there's nothing wrong with the gospel. The people who can carry the gospel, there could be evil people carrying it. That doesn't mean that suddenly God is evil and wants you harm. Like, when you look in the Bible of what happened with slavery, and I know it's not enough popular, it's unpopular opinion, but when you look at reading over what happened with the Israelites, I'm not a Hebrew Israelite, but they have some nuggets in there of truth and other things that are way off. But when you look at what happened, it's like, for Black people, like, if we don't follow God and we're not doing what God wants us to be doing, if we completely go against God, there's going to be ramifications. And I think the reason why it's harsher towards Black people, like me and my older sister were having this conversation, the reason why it's harsher towards us, like, who are the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade, whether you're from the Caribbean, like me and my family, or you're from the Americas, or you're the Afro-Latinos and those countries as well, is because, like, God put, like, I don't know if you put a mantle on our heads or something, but we have to push the gospel. Like, we have to share the gospel. Because when Black people do things, especially in the States, other people follow them. So it's like, when you go against God, like, you're going to get even harder. Like, he's going to discipline you even harder. And he'll give you many chances. And he has grace and mercy. And he loves us. That's why, as much as he punished, like, our ancestors with slavery, because they were, you know, worshiping idols and, you know, practicing witchcraft and all that stuff, he still was able to save us. He was able to save us who are currently in this room. Like, we're not still in bondage right now.
So you will still have to face ramifications. You know, there's generational curses. People have to deal with that. But you can be set free from that. But where he still loved us enough to save this generation from all of that. So, like, it's our job to just push it forward and keep going and not be like, oh, my God, the devil is beating me up. He's killing me. Like, what do I do? Like, at some point, you have to be like, no, like, the fear of the Lord is a strong confidence. Like, I am going to keep going. I'm not going to give up. Like, I don't care what he throws at me. Like, God is more powerful than him. So I need to lean in God more. It doesn't mean it's going to suddenly be easy and he's going to stop getting his foot on your neck. But eventually he's going to realize, you know what? These people, I can't get to them because their faith is too strong and they're too disciplined. Like, I cannot get to them anymore. And he starts moving on to somebody else. But until then, he's going to keep coming with the same thing, with the racism, with the oppression, and this, and that. He's going to use the same tools to get at Black people because he knows, like, all I have to do is throw this at them and they will fold. And they'll give in. They'll give in to sin. They'll forget about God. They'll throw God in the dustbin and they'll just, you know, that's it. That's all.
Thanks for listening to the New Pneuma Godcast once again. This is your host, Norm. Follow me at Norm the Professor on IG. I'm in agreement for power and breakthrough in your life. Keep tuning in every week for that real talk, new life.